This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yalla, bismillah. So the first part of the story, in verse 30, chapter 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, I have told the angels, I have decided to place on earth, pause. I have decided to place on earth, you and I do not know yet, صح? Because I didn't go to the next slide. All right? Before I tell you exactly what Allah placed, I want to go back in time. Like, how back in time? I want to go back not just to the first century, I want to go back before we all existed. Lala, I want to go even a little bit further back. Like, how back? Before even earth was there. Before even the skies and the planets and the universe was there. So how do you know? Because a group of Yemenis, what? Asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the question. May Allah bless them, say ameen. They're a group of people from Yemen, and they want to accept Islam, so they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ji'na natafaqahu fi ad-deen. We are coming to learn about the religion. So they have a lot of questions, our brothers and sisters from Yemen. What was one of the questions? عن أول هذا الأمر ما كان. What was the first thing to exist? What was the first matter that ever took place in this universe? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the first thing, the story starts with Allah. كان الله ولم يكن شيء قبله. It was Allah alone and there was nothing else. Whatever is in your mind besides Allah was not there. Whatever you can think of. Anything, the throne, the sky, heaven, hell, Dearborn, none of that existed. No one, nothing. كان الله ولم يكن شيء قبله. That's why this gives you which name of Allah. Which name of Allah can you get from this? Go ahead, Tawfiq. Al-Wahid, the one. Okay, we can take that, the one, right? Al-Wahid, what can you take? Al-Awwal. Yalla, let me test your knowledge. Is the name Al-Awwal in the Quran? هو الأول والآخر. What surah? Al-Hajj. Close, very close. Al-Ha. Al-Ha. مش الحشر. Al-Hashr. Al-Hajj. No, Al-Ha. Deed. Al-Hadid. The surah is called the steel. Al-Hadid. So Allah says, He is the first. Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. And Allah is the last. Okay. Allah was always there. What was the first thing Allah created? The first thing. There's a difference of opinion. We'll share with you a few hadith. Ready? Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ خُلِقَ مِنْ مَا. Everything was created from water. That's why some scholars, they said, the first thing Allah created was water. And everything else came from it. That's one opinion. And this shows you how pure and important water is. Then after Allah perhaps created the water, what was the thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that He placed above the water? Al-Arsh, Allah's throne. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Allah created His throne and He placed it on water. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He carved something on His throne. Just an example. You know how sometimes you have your laptop, you put a sticker, you have, I don't know, your bed, you have a sticker of dhikr or anything of that sort. Allah's the best of examples. Nothing is like Allah. Allah carved something on His throne. Now, before you know what it is, it shows you how important it is, correct? And that's the one thing that we know that is written on Allah's throne. Anybody here knows? What is it that is written on Allah's throne? That's a big deal. Go ahead. What is it? Rules? Okay, you're close. There's a rule that God put. There's one rule. Fantastic. Go ahead. Fantastic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَكْتُوبٌ عِنْدَ عَرْشِ. It was written on Allah's throne. رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي. My mercy is overcoming, my mercy was faster, my mercy is further than my anger. Allahu Akbar. What does that make you and I feel? The rahmah, the mercy. So Allah, by default, what's the default of Allah? Is to be merciful. May Allah shower His mercy upon all of you. Say ameen. So Allah was there first. Then Allah created the water. Then Allah created the throne. Then Allah created the pen. Here, the Prophet says, "Inna awwala ma khalaqa Allahu al-qalam." The first thing Allah created was the pen. So when Allah created the pen, Allah told the pen, write. So the pen said, what should I write? So Allah says, "Uktub maqadira kulla shay'in hatta taqum as-sa'a." Write everything that will happen until the day of judgment. You being present here today in Dearborn, October 25th, 2024, was written. The chair that you're sitting on was written. The fact that someone just walked in, it was written. The leaf, we're in fall. The leaf that is falling, it was written. It will fall at that time, in that speed, in that location. Everything was written based on Allah's knowledge. After 50,000 years, and every hadith mentioned is authentic, inshallah. 50,000 years from the creation of the what? Of the pen. Are you guys with me? 50,000 years later, Allah went ahead to create the heavens and the earth, the universe, the Milky Way, and the planets, and the stars, and the sun, and the moon, everything. And Allah, out of all the creation that is visible to us today, He appeared to give more emphasis to a little tiny creation from the solar system. Out of everything Allah created, there's that one little thing that Allah emphasized so much on. What is that thing called? Earth. He put water, river, mountains, lakes, all these things, oceans, valleys, or volcanoes, you name it, everything is there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created this, just to give you the size of things and how small earth is, in an authentic narration, Ibn Mas'ud said, between the first sky, the one that you and I see, that's the first sky, and the second one, which no one ever saw, is 500-year journey. And between the second sky and the third sky, 500-year journey. All the way until the, how many? Seventh sky. Then the Prophet, or Ibn Mas'ud said, based on what he was taught from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and above the seventh sky is Al-Kursi. Not the throne, different. Al-Kursi. Ibn Abbas says Al-Kursi is the footstool to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then between the kursi and the water is 500 years. And what's above the water? The arsh. Then Ibn Mas'ud says, Wallahu fawqa al-arsh, and Allah is above the throne. Ready for the ending? Look how far. It seems Allah is very far, right? It seems. Then Ibn Mas'ud said, though Allah is above seven heavens, above the throne, thousands of years away, لا يخفى عليه شيء من أعمالكم. Nothing that you do, Allah is not aware of. May Allah make us aware of Him, Amir Rabbil Alameen. Allah also eventually creates what? Lawh al-Mahfuz, that's where the pen wrote, the preserved tablet, well done. What else did Allah create? Early on, before you and I. Angels. Who are the angels? No, not your wife. Calm down. I'm like, yeah, my wife. No. Before that. Your wife is better than the angel, huh? I give you some notes. MashaAllah. Right? The angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He taught us, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِن نُورٍ. Angels were created from light. Okay, that's beautiful. That's amazing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَاعِلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا. Angels, what's their job? Messengers. They are ones that deliver a message. That's some of their tasks. Then Allah says, أُولِي أَجْنِحَ. Some of the angels have wings. How many? مَثْنَا, two wings. Some angels have three wings. And some angels have four wings. وَرُبَعْ. يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءَ. And Allah can increase as much as Allah wants. Let me test your knowledge. Do you know any angel that has a specific number of wings? Go ahead. Okay, that was a back. Okay, fantastic. Go ahead. Angel Jibreel, how many wings? Two, three, or four? MashaAllah, close. 600. 600 wings. One wing can cover the entire horizon. Now, beside wings, imagine the size, if that's the wing. We have the example of a size of the angel, not the wing. Who knows? The size of an angel. Huh? A big size angel. You know one? Bismillah, go ahead. MashaAllah. So he gave the very close description. The angels that carry Allah's throne, حملت العرش. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, I see what you do not see in one hadith. Then he says how Allah told him that the angel that carries Allah's throne. Ready? How many people carry, how many angels carry Allah's throne? Eight. On the day of judgment, Allah says, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشِ رَبِّكِ. On that day, how many? ثَمَانِيَ, eight. One angel between the earlobe and the shoulder. Like, look how fast it takes me. Maybe not even 1 second, right? One second. If you want to go from the earlobe, which your parents twist a lot, all the way to your shoulder of that angel, it takes you 700 years. 700 years of traveling from here to here. And that's one. So you see how magnificent is Allah's creation? The solar system, the Milky Way, and all that stuff. Tayyib, that's the size. What about the quantity? How many angels are there? I'll give you two ahadith only to tell you how many. Are they a lot or little? What do you guys think? A lot, like beyond your imagination. I.e., no calculator can provide you a number. Allahu Akbar. Human beings right now have about 8 billion. Angels, watch. Two ahadith. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I hear things which you do not hear. I know things which you do not know. And Allah told me something. And he heard something. What is it? He said, "Attati sama." The sky is doing a squeaky noise. Did you ever walk on the stairs in your house and you hear the squeaky noise of the floor? Right? This one of the possible causes is the floor is not the best of quality. The other possible cause, you're big. All right? Bismillah. So what happened? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Attati sama," the sky is doing a squeaky noise. A huge sky that you cannot see the end. Why, ya Rasulullah? Then he says, because laysa hunaka mawdi' arba' asabi', there's not a distance of four fingers except that there is an angel prostrating. What do you mean? Angel prostrates here, there's a gap. Four fingers, another angel prostrates, a gap, four fingers, another angel prostrates, a gap, four fingers, across the entire sky, that the sky is making noise. Allahu Akbar. One more hadith about the numbers, ready? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, how many heavens are there? You remember? Seven. The seventh heaven has something that no other heaven has. What is it? The seventh heaven. Al-Kaaba, you're close, you're very close. Try. A masjid, very close. Seventh heaven has something that no... Go ahead. Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, mashallah. What's Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, that house that is known as Al-Ma'mur? Allah teaches us the Bayt al-Ma'mur, just to let you know where we know it's located, literally. If the sky, check this out, if the sky were to open up, where the house is on, the house, the masjid. If it opens up and the house falls, where will it fall? Exactly over the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Exactly. So that other Kaaba, Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, the Prophet tells us every single day, 70,000 angels circulated. Tawaf, 70,000. You're like, we have 1.3 million in Hajj. Okay, calm down. 70,000 angels. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He says, إِذَا خَرَجُوا مِنْهُ When these 70,000 leave, they never ever come back. So another 70,000. So if we only use the 50,000 years, just the 50,000 years, calculate how many months, how many weeks, how many days, got the days, multiply by 70,000, just 50,000 years. So you see what's happening in the universe? You see the seven heavens, the kursi, Allah's throne, the pen, the number of the angels. What about their attitude, their behavior, their akhlaq? Allah says, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. These angels never disobey Allah. Like the entire sky, not one angel, iffy, not a single one. No arrogance, no arrogance. Allah says, لا يستكبرون. They don't get, يعني, Ya Allah, that's too much of worship. No. Ya Allah, do you really need us? No. Humble to Allah, ولا يستحسرون. What does that mean? يستحسرون. You heard that before in the Quran? What does that mean? يستحسرون. Yeah, okay, feel tired. They are not exhausted. They keep doing that all the way. Now, I want you to imagine, you're like, brother, all this is to give you the picture of this one. All this is to give you a picture. And your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to place on earth. Because the angels, they see Allah is giving special attention to earth. There's something special about it. Who will Allah give it to? What's the purpose of its existence? Allahumma barik. May Allah grant us the best. Say ameen. That's one of the reasons where Allah says before this verse, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ After you hear all of this, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ How can you disbelieve in Allah? Allah says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتَ You never even existed. Yani all this show is taking place and you were not even there yet. And then you come and you show up and then you're like, what is this? And you complain and you disobey. Then Allah says, ثُمْ أَفَأَحْيَاكُمْ Allah will bring you to life. Then Allah will cause you to die. Then Allah will cause you to come back to life. Then you return back to Allah. May Allah make our state of return beautiful. Say ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to announce to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ Perhaps, and Allah knows best, and we have some wonderful shuyukh in the audience, this is the greatest announcement of all time. And any announcement you have in your mind, any announcement. So-and-so is running for a president, whatever. Announcement, so-and-so have been victorious. Okay. But there's no announcement bigger, better, powerful, impactful than the following announcements. All the angels are paying attention. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ O angels, I have decided that on earth, and Allah said the location before the occupation. Allah said the location before the occupation. Just to share with us a quick lesson here from the mashayikh to show you the location should play a role in your occupation. Let that be a significant decision factor in what you choose in life. Even real estate agents, what do they tell you when it's a very good location? They will tell you under Zillow.com, the description of the house, location, location, location. We mentioned that before. If you're in a good location, sometimes people are willing to live in a tiny house, but give me the good location. So Allah's telling them that special location, earth, who will I occupy it with? Allah says, Khalifa. Khalifa. What does Khalifa mean? Big discussion. Khalifa, multiple opinions, 3, 4, 5, 7 opinions, beautiful responses. Khalifa, basically, number one, shows a new type of creation. All right? Khalifa, a new type of creation. So he is, or she is, or it is not an angel, not an animal, none of that. Khalifa, something unique. Khalifa also means that they will reproduce. Reproduce, that they will have children, they will have grandchildren. There's a progeny. Okay. Khalifa means free will. Oh, that's to the angels, that's a big deal. Because everything Allah created worships Allah with no questions, no complaints, no free will. Angels do not have an option to say, you know what, I don't feel like worshiping Allah today. They don't have that option. Khalifa does. So since Khalifa has free will, that means the Khalifa will have good decisions and possibly bad decisions. And this Khalifa, when Allah shares that, they get to understand from Allah that the Khalifa, the good ones, will worship Allah. They will obey Allah. The Khalifa is to apply the rules of Allah. And some of the Khulafa, the inhabitants of the earth, will spread corruption, will cause bloodshed. So when the angels heard these descriptions, Allah, you chose a Khalifa on earth, what happened next? قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا يَا اللَّهُ. Are you, now they're shocked, but they're not questioning his wisdom. One more time. They're not questioning his wisdom. They're curious. They're surprised. So they say, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا. You have chosen out of all the creation, the Khalifa, that human being, to be on earth someone who will spread corruption and cause what? And cause bloodshed? While we, I'll pay attention to this one. وَنَحْنُ. So the creation, the Khalifa, will go as far as killing people. And we, نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ. Actually, let me switch the levels. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we respect you. We praise you. We worship you. Non-negotiable. We are 100% in. But you chose someone that has the potential to cause bloodshed. Few things. The angels noticed that the worst thing that humans can do as a Khalifa, as a leader to the community, the worst thing that can ever be done on earth amongst creation is bloodshed. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us. So they picked the worst thing. They will go that far? Wallahi, when I was preparing this, I was thinking, how are the angels feeling when they see the genocide happening? Right? The bloodshed recorded, almost no one doing anything about it. But you know what's also beautiful? The angels taught you and I, bloodshed is the most disgusting thing that ever happens on earth between the creation. But the angels, may Allah bless them, they taught us what's the best thing that creation can do. What is it? The best thing. The dhikr of Allah. Say subhanallah. The best. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, say it. La ilaha illallah. So we learn from this wonderful creation, the angels, the worst is bloodshed. The best is the dhikr of Allah. May Allah make you and I busy with Allah's remembrance. Say ameen. May Allah make this ayah the compass of our life to always remember that. Not too long ago, subhanallah, I was feeling not very well, not health-wise. It's like, you know, the blah feeling. I don't know how to explain that, right? You know, we all went through that. Everything is going well, but I just feel like, I don't know, you know, some maybe annoyed, confused, disturbed. It happens every now and then, right? And I'm thinking, you know what, do we unwind on social media? Don't we do that sometimes? And specifically the reels and the YouTube shorts, see something funny. And you know what's interesting is that studies have shown that those who try to do that, especially if they spend long unwinding, they come out of the phone when they're done more miserable than before. Allahu Akbar. As if it was a drug, you pause time, then you're watching, laughing. You turned it off, then you're back to your reality. And subhanallah, when you really come down to it, nothing will help you. And Allah knows best. Nothing will help you more than remembering Allah. It's the Quran. Nothing. I'm giving you a free nasiha. Nothing. Not YouTube shorts. Not something, you know, necessarily funny. Let's go have a meal. Band-aid. Okay, temporary. But the real thing that some of us may look to, especially if you tried everything I said and it's not working, is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the Quran. Make wudu, pray to rak'at. Open the Quran and read and see how you feel when you close that compared to closing your phone. May Allah protect us. And how you will feel with that. نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. I want to ask you, I want to see your knowledge with tasbih and dhikr. Can I test you? What is some dhikr that the Prophet taught us? Like, if you do this, you get that. If you do this dhikr, you get that. And try, if you can, I'm going to make it a little bit advanced, a little bit. try to give me the example based on these two. نسبح بحمدك. So سبحان الله الحمد لله. Go ahead, give me one. Yes. Fantastic. One hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, سبحان الله وبحمده completes or fills the scale. But let's explain to everybody. The scale is what your deeds will be measured with. The heavier, the better. So we learn from the Prophet to reach maximum capacity of the scale. Make it heavy. Say subhanallah bihamd, it fills it up. Allahu Akbar. But since we said that, or we said that, what does it mean? Like, why is it so powerful? Are you ready, inshallah? What does subhanallah bihamd mean? May Allah make it be defined in a way that we all remember, inshallah. Ready? There's no inshallah in dua. I made a mistake. When you make dua, don't say inshallah. All right. Subhanallah is the opposite of alhamdulillah. Subhanallah is the opposite of alhamdulillah. How is that? Subhanallah, it's like you're saying Allah is free from any negative given to him. Some say Allah is cheap. May Allah forgive us. Yadullahi maghlula in the Quran. Some people, they say Allah is tight with provision. So when we hear something negative about Allah, what do we say? Subhanallah. Allah's free from the negative said about him. Example. Allah says, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. They said, Allah has a son. What's the next word? Subhana. You see how it worked out? So when you hear something disturbing about Allah, something negative, the appropriate word is subhanallah. Done? Alhamdulillah is the opposite. When you hear something mentioned about Allah, positive, alhamdulillah comes in place. Alhamd, you praise. You praise every positive attribute given to Allah. So when you say subhanallah, وَبِحَمْدِهِ, you completed the entire thing. That's why it fills the scale. Fair enough? So Allah's free from any negative. Allah's full of every positive. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. So that's one reward. Fantastic. What about this side? Any reward of dhikr? Any reward? Okay, go ahead. Okay, very close. I'll take the first part. And I'll proceed. What did the sister say? She's teaching us something of dhikr that we can do. And I like what you mentioned because it can be done tonight. I have some other content that can be said early in the morning. But I will use this the night because maybe inshallah we're motivated. What's the dhikr? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a long story, but I'll just give you the gist of it. He says, if you say before you sleep, people confuse the numbers, so pay attention to the numbers. If you say before you sleep, subhanallah, 33. Alhamdulillah, 33. Allahu Akbar, 34. So for this one, you don't say at the end, la ilaha illallah. No. Subhanallah, 33. Alhamdulillah, 33. Allahu Akbar, 34. What's the total? How's your math? What's the total of these three? 100. Fantastic. If you say that, you will wake up the next morning as if you have a boost in your energy. You will wake up as if you have an assistant in your life. Subhanallah. When Ali radiallahu anhu, he heard this, he said, I never in my life slept without saying it. So can we remember, inshallah? But don't play with the system. Ishay, don't play with the system. Don't say, Wallah, jazakallah khair for the hadith. Tonight I will sleep at 3 in the morning and get that 5-hour shot. La, la, la. Doesn't work like that. You take the means, you sleep on time, inshallah, and you say this dua. Don't test it. Say it with belief. And tomorrow, when you do see the impact, you will make dua for the sister and all of us, inshallah. Sounds good? What was the number again? Subhanallah, 33. Alhamdulillah, 33. And Allahu Akbar, 34. Rani, go ahead. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. If you say Subhanallah wa bihamdi, last one. Say Subhanallah wa bihamdi. If you say that 100 times, after the 100th time, Allah will forgive every sin you committed. Does that not show you how powerful that line is? You're busy remembering Allah. The Prophet says, even if your sins was as much as the ocean, the foam of the ocean. I'll share with you just maybe encouragement. I had this hadith in my notes. But I said, let me take from the audience, and we'll see how time is, and I'll proceed. So after I took my two, as I promised, I wanted to go ahead, but Allah willed that you mentioned it. So while I had it here, I felt like a hypocrite. Why? I have it here. Whoever says Subhanallah 100 times, Subhanallah bihamdi, Allah forgive. Then I'm like, okay, I'm rehearsing in my attic upstairs. Whoever says Subhanallah 100 times, wa bihamdi, Allah forgives the sins. I felt like a munafiq. Why? Why? Because I'm not doing it. So it feels very weird. So I decided, if I want to say it, I got to do it. So I paused, went to Google timer, stopwatch. So I wanted to see something. How long does it really take? So I pressed start, subhanAllah bihamd 100 times. It took 2.5 minutes. MashaAllah, right? So is it worth it? 2.5 minutes for all the sins to be forgiven? InshaAllah, right? May Allah put barakah in our time. Amen, Rabbil Alameen. So the angel, they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا Ya Allah, are you going to have on earth that special, amazing place, Khalifa, a human being that will spread corruption and cause bloodshed while we, what do? We remember you day, night and day. We never disobey you. Now the ulama, they say something. What do they mean with that? Number one, they're saying, Ya Allah, we don't want you to be disrespected. We love you. These creation will have free will, and you told us that they may cause bloodshed because they will say, La ilma lana illa ma allamtana. Like, we say whatever you taught us. So the angels are not guessing. They're confirming there will be bloodshed. So Ya Allah, number one, we don't want you to be disrespected. We love you. Number two, choose us. Let the angels be the Khalifa. Let us do whatever you want. Let us rule the way you want us to rule on earth. And the third thing, Ya Allah, do we have any shortcomings that we were not chosen for this task? You see how that happens? And Ya Allah, نحن نستف... and you're choosing someone that can cause bloodshed over us that always glorify you. Like, we have the feel that we're not good enough. You see that? What does Allah say? Inni a'lamu. Surah Al-Baqarah, this is Baqarah. This is the second chapter of Al-Fatiha. You got to live by this. Allah says to the angels, Allah acknowledges what they said. Allah did not say, no, there's no bloodshed. No, Allah acknowledges there will be bloodshed. Allah acknowledges you are great, that you do glorification, but I know something which you do not know. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, and Allah starts on a Friday. What happens on a Friday? Allah starts the creation of that Khalifa. Do we know the name? Not yet. He starts working on that Khalifa. And out of everything Allah created, it is not common to do it the following way. Allah is creating the Khalifa with his own hands. بيدي. Allahu Akbar. In the Quran. Allah first gets, ready guys? Ready inshallah? Allah goes to earth and grabs qabda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, min qabdatin qabadaha min jami'il ard. Allah grabs from earth every type of soil. The rough soil, the smooth, the white soil, the black soil, the reddish soil, all types. And he used that mix, and forgive me for that pause, sometimes you come in social media across someone mocking the mix. Some of you may be able to reference what I'm saying. When you see someone acting as if they are God, where there's a bowl, they put water and they put a mix pretending to create a human being, it's not appropriate for you to continue watching. You would be held accountable. This is mockery towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear for those that know what I'm referring to? Let's go back. So Allah grabs what? Soil. All types of soils. And then he starts molding that Khalifa. Pay attention. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why from the progeny of the Khalifa, we have different what? Different skin color. The DNA will go back to that Khalifa, and we took that type of soil. So that is why, since there's a assorted type of soil, we will have different skin color and different personalities. Allah took from the, you know, the rough, the ultra red pill, then the other pill, all right? So within that boundary, subhanAllah, then Allah, when He grabbed the soil, Allah mixed the soil with water. Allahu Akbar. So when the soil, turab, comes with ma', you put them together, what's the word? Teen or clay. Teen. Teen is mud. And look at the origin of the Khalifa. We all know we are from the Khalifa, right? Look at your origin. You are pure. The two things that made you, there's no third element, there's no fourth, there's no fifth. Only two. Two elements that made you, water and soil. You're clean. Which is very different than some biblical stuff. That, oh, everybody's born with that original sin and you, the reason you're on earth because you're all miserable. You got to clean yourself. La, 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 la. We believe the complete opposite. We're pure. Your default settings, you are amazing. You are more valuable than the shiniest diamond. This is who you are, and you got to believe in that. Allah's telling you this, not a motivational speaker. Allah's telling you your origin is water, which is the source of life. So be the source of guidance to others. Live by the elements you are made out of. You are made out of soil. So build on earth and construct and make this world a better place. When you want to clean yourself, you want to pray, what do you do? Wudu, water. And if there's no water, what do you use? Soil, turab. Look how clean you are. You want something amazing? Ready for this? All the ones that love to connect science with the religious stuff. There's an article titled The Epistemology of Wrinkles. Yani the knowledge of wrinkles. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. All right? The knowledge of wrinkles from geology and anatomy to physiology. I'm confused. I'll make it easy. I went to ChatGPT. I said, give me what this means in grade 8 English. All right? So look to what it says. In the article, I give you word for word. It says the general principles. Wallah, pay attention. You're going to enjoy this, inshallah. The general principles behind tension and compression, wrinkles, are the same in geology and dermatology. Yani the science of the skin and how it shrinks and it expands is very similar foundations to how the earth expands and shrinks. Allahu Akbar. So look up this article if you're interested. The epistemology of wrinkles from geology and anatomy to physiology. An entire study. Amazing. How is it that the foundation... So if you want to be a very good dermatologist who makes about $700,000 a year, mashallah, tabarakallah, join us and register for this class. Anyhow, let's move on. Right? So this is what the human being is made out of. The water and the soil. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His hands, He starts to fashion the body of that Khalifa. And the hadith says, and may require a lot of explanation, but don't be too thrown off by it. The Prophet said, Allah created that Khalifa in the image of God. Authentic hadith. All right? One meaning, is that He created the image of that Khalifa right to the get-go, as in not a baby that grows and becomes taller. Fair enough? So right away, what was the height of that Khalifa, authentic hadith? What was the height? 60 arm length. What is that? 90 feet. Oh, that's pretty tall. 90 feet tall. That Khalifa, the first one, 90 feet. All his progeny will start getting shorter and shorter and shorter. 90 feet. You want a comparison? NBA basketball court. How big? How tall? How long? 94 feet approximately, right? So if that Khalifa were to sleep on a basketball court from the beginning, his head, all the way to the toes, to the end, the entire court. The other meaning of it is that Allah created him in the image of Allah. So we do not say they are identical. Nothing is like Allah. But Allah did say, that he has eyes. تجري بأعيننا. We don't say what color, shape. أعوذ بالله. But a human being has eyes. Allah says, سميع, he can hear. And so is that Khalifa can hear. But we not say they're similar in any way, shape, or form. Sounds good? We don't compare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has a face. Where is that in the Quran? Where is it that Allah says he has a face? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And everything is gone, everything vanishes except the face of Allah. Then Allah says that he has a shin. Where is that? Shin? The human being has a shin, but not like Allah. Nothing is like Allah, but the attributes are there. Where is the word shin in the Quran? Try. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, the young people, Allahumma barik. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. Allah will reveal his shin on the day of judgment. Then everyone will be told, prostrate. May Allah make us prostrate on that day. SubhanAllah. So Adam, I mentioned the name, SubhanAllah. See, you cannot be perfect except Allah. I try not to say, you're like, brother, we already know this. Oh yeah, it's okay. The suspense, right? So anyhow, so then the Khalifa is created, 60 or 90 feet tall. And then Allah, when he fashions him, he makes him paused, dry. No soul yet, no ruh, the eyes are not opening, just the body. Allah says in the Quran, kal fakhar, the body of the Khalifa becomes like pottery. Then Allah says, salsal. What does that mean? If you go and you do this, you will hear a sound, salsal. Hollow, fantastic, right? So then, tarakahu ma shaa Allahu an yatruka. Then Allah left the body as long as Allah willed. During that time, someone showed up and sees that body and walks around. Who's that person? What is he going to say? What is his plan? All that and much more after the break, inshallah. So let's take a break, bi-ibnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll come right after. The Prophet says that being that was circulating, it was Iblis. Before I tell you what he did, what he said, and what happened, who is Iblis? There is a discussion. And there are differences of opinion. The most recent of scholars, very much they say, and that's what you'll very much hear, when much of the scholars around earth today, they will tell you that Iblis kana min al-jinn. He was of the jinn. Now, who are the jinn? And you told us about angels, you told us about the kursi, you told us about the throne, you told us about the pen. Who are the jinn? Jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he created the jinn from fire. And it can also be translated as smokeless fire. Allah created them. They're the only ones, besides this new Khalifa, that have what? Free will. Excellent. So that jinn, the father of the jinn, is Iblis. That's the father of the jinn. I want to take you a little bit back just to share it with you if you come across it. Some benefit. Some scholars, they said, it's not in the Quran or authentic narrations from my understanding, but the angels were concerned about the Khalifa because of the history of the jinn. The jinn has history. They have free will. And we saw what people with free will can do. So ya Allah, why are you creating another creature with free will? Because they might do the same thing. They're not complaining. They're just surprised and curious. So let's go back. Iblis, should I tell you another opinion or I'm going to throw you off? Yeah, let's share with you. You guys seem very focused. I'm going to use that. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Some scholars and many of the older scholars, they believe Iblis was an angel. Iblis was an angel. What am I trying to get to? Not that he's an angel or a jinn. What I'm trying to get to is everyone, young and old here, respect both opinions. If you can walk outside these doors and hear our scholars telling you Iblis was from the angels and he disobeyed, you respect that because it's a scholarly study and opinion. And if you attend another one And the scholar tells you the opinion seems stronger that Iblis is of the, not angels, jinn. We respect that. Can we do that? Can we walk out with that respect, inshallah? If it was some random stuff, someone says Iblis was a dinosaur, I don't care who that person is. Okay, you walk out of that door. All right, fantastic. So not every, you want to note it down? Not every difference of opinion is a valid opinion. One more time. Not every difference of opinion is a valid opinion. Just keep that in mind, because we don't want to pick and choose and play games. So when Allah created Adam and he left him, Iblis, I will proceed the rest of the session and the rest of my teachings, and Allah knows the future, will go with Iblis as a jinn. So as Iblis was walking around, he's looking, like, who is this thing that is so special that God had to announce it, and then there's a whole earth for him? Who is this thing, yani? So he comes, yanzur mahu, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ أَجْوَفْ. When the devil, Iblis, came and noticed it was hollow, right? Hollow, empty from the inside in a way. He says, ظَفِرْتُ بِهِ خَلْقٌ لَا يَتَمَالَكْ. I got this. I can overcome. I am better. He is weak. He will fall for desires and temptations. And you want to connect something? That's why down the road on earth, the Prophet told us, the devil flows in your body just like blood flows in your body. May Allah protect us. So then he said, خَلْقٌ لَا يَتَمَالَكْ, seems not very happy, and criticized Adam and that Khalifa. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do of one of the biggest moves ever, which is what? وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. And Allah will blow from his created soul. Allah created a soul and placed it into that Khalifa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now the body will have a lot of value. Now the value of the body went up because of the inside. So keep that in mind. What you and I should focus most on is the beauty of the inside, not as much as the outside. Outside, you're a hollow body, yani pottery. I was going to say Harry Potter. Anyhow, right? Pottery. But when the soul comes in, you become valuable. You're a loved one, the most person that you love. May Allah bless them. They're around you and alive. May Allah honor them. See what I mean? When Allah commands the soul to leave, that body will not have a value. Your most loved one, you will not even stand them in your own house. No, I love them. You will not. Biologically, what will happen, the smell, all humans very much go through that. And that body value loses, and you have to go under the ground and place it. Allahu Akbar. So focus what beautifies the soul, and don't sacrifice the beauty of the inside, and go focus all out on the external beauty. It will not last. It can backfire and stab the inside. May Allah protect us. Let me make it more practical. When I say the beauty of the inside, it means your gratitude. It means your patience. It means your humbleness. That's the beauty. That's the makeup of the inside. And then, yes, you should care for the outside. May Allah make us beautiful inside and outside. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So when Allah created that Khalifa, blew the soul into him, the soul was risen or is rising. The soul entered the body. The soul entered the body. The soul is going up. The soul reached the head. And then the Khalifa sneezed. First moment in life. Our father. Our father. What will the first thing he say? What is this? Where am I? What in the world? The first thing that comes out of this Khalifa's mouth. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Can you imagine the angels like, Allahu Akbar. Right? Like, how is that? How did you know how to talk? Right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah. So let that be the first thing you say when you wake up. When you wake up tomorrow, say, Alhamdulillah. The same way Allah is teaching us through this man, alayhi salam, to say Alhamdulillah. Sounds good? So he said, Alhamdulillah. That's the first thing the human being ever said. And the first thing the creator, Al-Khaliq, will ever say to the human being. The first thing is what? Yarhamuk Allah. May my mercy shall be upon you. If that's the beginning, what's next? How should you and I feel as we drive back home? You want to give up on someone that the first thing they told you, Allah's mercy is on you. You give up on someone like that? The first thing that he said, that's the beginning. What's next? What's next is better. Did you ever go to a very fancy dinner before? Like really, really fancy dinner that you felt like a miskin? Like, I don't, what do you mean? Ever had like four plates, like one plate, this big, then one, two, there's three, there's four? Three forks, three knives, three, ever? I went twice in my life. May Allah make it easy for us. Right? And like a miskin, you eat everything on the first plate. Right? Jama'a Dearborn, right? The waiter comes and takes the first plate. Like, no, keep it, keep it. No, sir, there's another one. Like, no. Sir, you have another plate. Okay, they take the plate and you're like, sad, wastefulness. Then they take the spoon and the fork. Like, no. It's like, sir, look, there's two other ones. May Allah grant us Jannah. So you're like, if this was the appetizer, what's the main dish? Right? What's the main dish? Well, last one. In Windsor, I was invited for iftar. A brother, may Allah bless him, from Pakistan. So when we had iftar, it was samosa. It was a fruit salad. It was like a meal. So I'm like, I start eating and eating and eating and eating. And the guy did not say anything. May Allah honor him. And I went all out. Yeah. So then the brother said, all right, let's go pray Maghrib. Then I'm like, may Allah help us. The stomach is, mashallah, tabarakallah. So then Allah, we prayed Maghrib. After we're done, so brothers, inshallah, we're going to start the iftar here. Start the iftar? What was that? It's like, no, brother, in our culture, that's where we start samosas and fruits and like a full meal. I went and it was a very sad moment because I could not eat anything else, subhanAllah. Right? So this was the appetizer. Then what in the world was the main dish? It was amazing, mashallah. So Allah is the best of examples. The first thing Allah told you, يَرْحَمُكَ Allah, my mercy is upon you. What is waiting for you in Jannah? Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us see Allah's mercy in this dunya and in the akhirah. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So when Allah created that khalifa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam. Allah was the teacher. Adam was a student. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Now Allah says the name is Adam. What does Adam mean? Some ulama said Adam means the face of the earth, which resembles where he's made out of. Allahu Akbar. So the name plays a role with your personality. Choose the right names. May Allah grant you the best. Allah taught Adam the names of all things. What all things? Oh, you open the books, you'll see this opinion and that opinion and this opinion. Some of the things Allah taught, and perhaps the first names and things Allah taught Adam would be what? Allah's beautiful names. I am Ar-Rahman. I am Ar-Rahim. I am Al-Aleem. And Adam is, you know, absorbing it. Let it sink in, soaking it, and learning Allah's names is this, this, and that. Allah taught him the language, how to speak. Some ulama went as far as saying, Adam knew every language that existed on earth. Every language, English, Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, Hindi, everything. He knew all the languages. Some ulama, they came in the middle. They said he knew the foundations that will bring every other language. So he knew the foundational language, and then people eventually developed it into other ones. May Allah grant us the best. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So he was very educated. He was so smart, and he was so intelligent. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knows the exact order. He told Adam, go to these angels. And what should he do? Allah told Adam, اذهب فسلم على أولئك النفر. Go and greet these. Well, who are the nafar? Angels. Say salam, and ya Adam, I want you to pay attention to what? How they reply, mashallah. And whatever they reply, Adam, يُرسلِّم سلام عليكم. Whatever they reply, that will be the standard greeting of all your children. Allahu Akbar. So Adam is, okay, I want to see. After I say salamu alaykum, what will be the response? He walks to the angels and he says, assalamu alaykum. And the angels, they say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And this is the greeting. So how about just for a few seconds, go to the one next to you and say assalamu alaykum. Say salam to the one next to you. Fantastic, fantastic. Allah. Good. Oh, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. All right, fantastic, fantastic. All right, fantastic. MashaAllah. MashaAllah, the sisters are exchanging numbers already. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I saw you at Dreamy. I saw you at IIA. I saw you. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. All right, bismillah. You see the smile, you see the love? This is, you just witnessed a miracle. You literally lived a miracle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this will be the greeting. I remember, I shared it with the ones that attend Tuesday classes, the etiquette of greeting. I went to Beijing, China, one time for work. And when I went there, I wanted to visit a masjid. And I went to the masjid in China. I saw a library. And then I walked in, and there's all these Islamic books. So I told the old lady handling the library, where is the Quran? She did not know. I said, Prophet Muhammad. She did not know. I was so shocked. How is that possible? So I said, Quran. Like, doesn't need Chinese to say it. Quran. Abadan. So now what am I looking for? In the library, for a Quran. So then I walked around until I found a Quran. So I said this. She said, Quranji. I said, what? There's a jim, yeah, real. She said, Quranji. I was able to communicate. We say Quran, the Quran says Quran. Anyhow. But she didn't get any word. And Allah knows the behind the scenes. Is there oppression? Is there not? Allahu Ta'ala alam, in that location. Before I left, and maybe she didn't hear me the first time, I said, what at the end? Salamu alaikum. Then she said, wa alaikum as-salam. I'm like, that you know. Wallahi, the only thing, Allah's my witness, the only thing was salamu alaikum. And what came to my mind? This hadith. Miracle, subhanAllah. Salamu alaikum as-salam. So here, the etiquette, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, you will not go to paradise until you love one another. And you will not, no, I made a mistake. Who can correct me? I can correct, but I want you to correct me. I had to pay attention. Isa, or you do pay attention, but you're shy to embarrass me on stage in front of 1,000 people. Good. Isa. Okay, Ahsan, there's a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're right. He says, you will not truly believe until you love for others what you love for yourself. That's a hadith. You know what my mistake? Go ahead. Okay, you will not enter Jannah until you love each other. That's what I said. You will not go to Jannah until you love each other. I made a mistake. There's something before this. David, Ahsan, may Allah bless you. You will not enter Jannah until you believe. لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not go to Jannah until you believe. You will not believe until you love one another. Shall I tell you something? If you do, you will love one another. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, spread greeting across unto one another. May Allah allow us to remember this. May Rabbil Alameen. So علم آدم الأسماء كلها. So he learned. Then what happened? Then Allah عرضهم على الملائكة. So what did Allah do? Now Allah is going to test the angels or bring it to the attention of the angels. What are these things? What is this language? What is this item? What is this thing? What is that? And what is this? Some ulama went as far as saying that Allah taught Adam everything, like literally everything. The beaches, the mountains, the rivers, the cells, the biology, everything. And by the way, just keep something in mind. Next time you go to one of these fancy colleges that we pay thousands of dollars and they teach you that there's a high probability that we came from monkeys and apes, right? And then there's a picture that it was a little insect, right? And then this is how we began. then you started to be this, then we became this, then we became this, then we became this. You saw that image and picture, right? No. We came educated, then we became boogie boogie. No, really. We came respectful, we came dignified, we came to know how to treat people, we came down knowing how to dress modestly, everything. Then we messed up. Fair enough. So keep that what the Quran said. Fair enough. All right, fantastic. So then Allah showed the angels the matters, and he asked them, what's the name of this? What's the function of that? What does this do? When the angels saw that, what did they say? Who knows the next part? Huh? Ahsant. Allah yabarifik. Qalu subhanak. Subhanak. You're free from any negative. You are perfect. You made the right decision. For sure. We are reaffirming it. La ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. We have no knowledge except the knowledge you gave us. So we will never say something except it's something that you said and taught us. For the ones that were, know a little bit of depth, that's why some ulama said Allah told the angels some of the Khalifa's progeny will shed blood. Is that, you're able to connect it? Because they said, we don't know except what you taught us. So when they said, the Khalifa will have those that shed blood, that means Allah told them that. Fair enough? So قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ. You're the all, your knowledge is infinite. Ours is not. You're very wise. Look at the name. Al-Hakim, you're wise. So let's learn from the angels to say, I do not know. Let's try it together. Say, I don't know. I know it's hard on some of us. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Say, I mean. I don't know. Learn that. This is one of the safest sentences that you can ever say that may save you from hell, enter you into heaven. This requires courage to say, I don't know. It's not easy. You might shake. You might get nervous. Just like what happened to your miskin brother in Florida. I went to a dinner, and then after the fundraising dinner, a sister comes up to me, and she says, brother, I have a question after the fundraiser. I said, what's the question? She said, is it okay to donate if I am in debt? Good question? Okay. Can I donate if I was in? And what's the answer? MashaAllah, look, Allahu Akbar, I got you. Wallah, in my opinion, I don't care about your opinion. Right? Unless you're a sheikh and alim, Allah, with all respect, right? May Allah bless you all, right? What's the answer? Now, I have an educated guess, but I'm not 100% sure. And then I'm like, oh my God, like, do I really say I don't know? I'm nervous. You think it's easy? Well, go in the fundraiser at the end and you're the keynote speaker and see what happens. May Allah make it easy. So then I told the sister, that's a really good question. Can I donate if I'm in debt? Wallahi, a good question. I said, honestly, I don't know the answer. I suggest you ask a local scholar. What did she say? What? You don't know the answer? Wallahi, unbelievable. You know what she said? We brought you all the way from Michigan to Florida. Wallahi. And you don't know what the answer to that question? At this point, I said, listen, qala. Right? And I was like, ah. Right? I'm like, that's why I love Dearborn. I'll never make hijrah to Canton. Anyhow. Okay? So then, I was moved. I'm like, should I tell her the educated guest? Should I give it? Should I tell her I was just testing your patience? I don't know. And I was nervous. I said, listen. And I'm like, halas, imagine everything that I learned. Yeah, this is the time. This is the moment. So I told the sister, listen, I can give you an educated guess, but it might be wrong. And I'd rather be embarrassed in front of you than be embarrassed in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Because I'm signing on his behalf with these answers. So I can't. I'm not the best of writers. Oh, jazakallah khair. Okay. All right. Okay. Wow. Just a reflection. You see how I don't know elevated the status? You saw that? Subhanallah. Unintentional. May Allah purify our intentions. And Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah protect us after this musibah. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So then, I felt I want to write something. I want to share it to the world. Like, you guys should not take it personal when someone says, I don't know. And if anything, if I tell you or someone tells you, I don't know about this, your credit should go up because that means you know your lane. I know what I'm an expert at. I will be very good in that field. So then I wrote an article. It's on Muslim Matters about saying I don't know. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't know. A lot of hadith and ayat and stories. Then after I published the article, it went viral. And this miskin doesn't write very well. So then I got a call from South Africa. I'm like, this is spam. Wallah, Mish'arif Trump wants me to vote for him. I don't know. So then I got a call from South Africa. They said, brother, we received and we read your article. And we want you to come to our radio show. I'm like, come to your radio show online. In South Africa, why? What's going on? We have the same problem. So it's a global thing. Saying I don't know is a big problem. So may Allah make it easy for us to say I don't know when we really don't know. Sounds good? All right, fantastic. So the angels, they said, لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. We don't know, you know best, ya Allah. Then look at the display. Look at the show. Beautiful. قال يا آدم. Then Allah calls Adam. Adam comes. Imagine all the angels. One guy, one Adam, one human being. All the angels, as far as the eye perhaps can see, different sizes and different number of wings, all of them. Allah tells Adam, tell them, show them, what are the names of this and that? How does this function? What's that language? And Adam answers. And then, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِيُهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Once Adam was done, and what a show, what a performance, what a great righteous creation, intelligent and room for growth. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, did I not tell you? أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمْ what? غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. I know everything. So be careful from falling into a situation where you question God's wisdom. Let this ayah ring in your mind. And specifically this one. This one right here. This one. I know what you don't know. That's what Allah said first. So something happens. Gaza. May Allah relieve them from their hardship. In Lebanon, Amir Rabbil Alameen as well. All across the world. Why is it taking so long? Where is Allah in all of this? You can ask respectfully. You can ask to be further educated, but never ask in terms of questioning His wisdom and existence. Sounds good? So anytime this comes, Allah knows what He's doing. Allah knows what He's doing. That baby, and you, if you were there, I truly believe, inshallah, anyone that was seeing a baby dying, you will do everything under the sun to save them. Yes or no? Everything. I got a call from an adult 2 days ago, about to cry over the phone. Brother Maj, what do we do about Gaza? How do we help? A brother, married, family, Allah cannot, is dying. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Can you share some wisdom? And just help me, my faith. He even said the word, I'm feeling hopeless. And that's what the shaitan wants you to feel. The shaitan wants you to get to a point that it gets so dark in your life, so dark that you ask, where is An-Nur? Where is Allah, the light? Where is He? May Allah protect us and forgive us. So remember this. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Then Allah also said something similar here. I know everything, the heavens and the earth and what's in between. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens next? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ أُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمُ. You see the display, you see the creation, you see the greatness, prostrate to Adam. What kind of prostration is this? Worship? لا. Respect. Greeting. Welcoming. Honoring them. So every single angel prostrates, except one did not. Can you imagine the scene? Are you seeing it? Everyone prostrating, except one. Who was that one? The one that went around the body. It was فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. That is why some scholars, they say, Iblis was of the angels. That's one of the reasons. But we have in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. The devil was from the jinn, فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Let's proceed. So Iblis, he did not prostrate. Focus on something, may Allah grant you Jannah. In Al-Baqarah, the first story, Allah does not spend a lot of ayat about the devil. Very minimal. other surahs, Al-A'raf and others, Allah speaks in detail. The focus in Al-Baqarah, what do you think it is? What's the word that was repeated quite frequently in the first story in the Quran? What is it? Adam, well, it was mentioned about once. But what's the theme that was mentioned and mentioned and mentioned and the theme and that you noticed? You want to try? Go ahead, try. Alif Lam Mim. Okay, you're close. So what does that mean? Hassan, you're right, you're close. What's the theme? Go ahead, sister. Allah's mercy. Okay, fantastic. You can see it. You can see it in the verses. All right. Maybe the hadith that I said. Siraj. The children of Israel. Okay. Some scholars actually put this as this page to teach you that you have people from Bani Israel that will be jealous towards you, just like Iblis is to Adam. I see that. But what's something that even a young man among us or woman can notice a theme? They read it on the projector. Go ahead, Rani.
I don't know.
Aywa. I don't know. So, what's the theme?
Knowledge.
That's the first theme and one of the core meanings of the first story in the Quran. That's what makes the Khalifa Khalifa. Knowledge. You now, by 9:30, inshallah we finish maybe before, you leave the room the way you entered? Allahu Akbar. Inshallah the iman increased. Inshallah the sins erased. Inshallah the good deeds went up. And the information and the closeness to Allah. May Allah make it possible. Say ameen. So knowledge. But ana, what I mentioned to you earlier in the session, the Surah Al-Baqarah will be the skeleton of the session. But I will go from different surahs and ahadith. So I want to go a little bit to a discussion, a Q&A between Allah and Iblis. May Allah protect us from Iblis. Say ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to Iblis, Ya Iblis, ma mana'ak, what stopped you an tasjuda lima khalaqtu biyaday? What made you not bow down to the thing I created with my own hands? And Allah wants to magnify the disaster move that you did, which is not moving. You didn't just not listen to me. You disobeyed one of the greatest things I've ever done, which is creating this Khalifa with my own hands. What stopped you? Allah gives him the possible answer, and Allah knows the answer. Allah says, Astakbarta? Are you looking down upon that creation? Am kunta min al-aleen? Or are you challenging my wisdom? Are you looking up down that he's not worth it? Or you're saying it doesn't make sense, so I won't do it. Which of these? Iblis pretty much says a little bit of both. He says, Ana khayran, or ana khayrun min. I am better. Khalaqtani min nar, you made me out of fire, and you made him out of mud, min teen. And I'm not gonna do it. Because he's nothing, and I'm not gonna do it because it makes no sense that fire bows to mud. May Allah protect us. Some people act like Iblis. If it don't make sense, I'm not doing it. So for you to do what Allah told you, you wanna understand the wisdom of every single thing. Some people say yes. So if you want to understand every single thing and why this and why that, then you're asking to be a god, and you will never be one. So Allah will share with you some wisdoms of certain things. And then he will tell you things, and that will not tell you why. Just for you to humble yourself to Allah. You don't have to understand every single thing, right? So here he says, no, this divine legislation, you tell me to do this, I'm not doing it. It's not clicking in. I am better than him. So Allah shows anger. Allah says, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. Then get out of here. You're expelled. Some said Iblis was at a high status among the jinn to the point they used to enter paradise and leave. So because of the one prostration, you're out. What about those that have not missed one salah, 100? If one prostration with arrogance, I'm not doing it. I'm not a morning guy. I'll pray Fajr at 8:30 after my calculus session that is at 7:30 or whatever. That level of arrogance towards a salah, what about, SubhanAllah, may Allah protect us. What about those that don't pray at all, not just delay it? So may Allah make this session for me and for you to be committed to salah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the greatest differentiator, the greatest line between kufr, disbelief, and Islam, submission to God, the biggest ruler is salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا, whoever leaves it, is of the kuffar. May Allah protect us. Leaving it, I don't care about it. Leaving it, I don't see the wisdom. Why does God need me to worship Him? You do not know what Allah knows. SubhanAllah. It's for your own benefit. So then Allah says, فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ, you are accursed individual. Then Allah says, فَهْبِطْ مِنْهَا, get out of here. Why? What's my crime? Allah says the crime. فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرُ, you are not allowed. It is haram for you to be arrogant and look down upon people. Do you know how bad the sin is? يعني, Iblis didn't go kill an angel. Iblis didn't go steal stuff from heaven. Iblis didn't go and... Iblis just looked upon, down upon someone. That was a crime to the level that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala nabi. The Prophet says, whoever has an atom weight of arrogance in their heart, they will not go to paradise. An atom weight, this masjid, that ethnicity goes to that masjid, I'm not entering. That type of person, based on the hadith, does not go to Jannah. May Allah protect us and may Allah guide them. Don't look down upon people. Don't be like that brother who I personally have met. And I told him, Sheikh so-and-so, with no need of names, he's coming to teach a halaqa. The brother asked me, where is the Sheikh from? True story. I said, the Sheikh is from such and such country. Wallahi, this is what he said. You want me to learn from a guy from that country? Till this day, arrogant and ignorant. Because of who is teaching you, their skin color or their background and ethnicity, may Allah protect us from arrogance, Ya Rabbil Alameen. This is the crime. To the point that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time, a sahabi came to the Prophet in one narration. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this man cursed me by telling me, Yabna Sauda, this man in Medina told that sahabi, O son of a black woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he get angry or not? He was fuming. He was so upset. Where is this man? Where is he at? Allahu Akbar. So then the man comes. Then the Prophet tells him, you are tu'ayyiruhu bi ummi. You're trying to curse at him by referring to the skin color of his. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not told, Ya Rasulullah, this man slapped me. This man robbed me. This man tried to, I don't know, kill my own children. This man committed shirk and kufr. This man just said a racist comment on me. And the Prophet was angry. Then he told him, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّ, you still have some ignorance in you. And the man that this was said to was an older man. And he was shocked. I still have some ignorance after all these years on earth. I still, after being a Muslim, there's still a little bit of arrogance in me. And that man repented and sought to return back to Allah and seek forgiveness from that man. You see how critical the words go and the commentary? Be careful with how you comment and you label people. May Allah forgive us. May Allah protect us and grant us wisdom. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So then Allah tells Iblis, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, my curse, what does my curse mean? My anger and wrath will always be upon you. Iblis, brothers and sisters, cannot repent. It was shut down. Allahu Akbar. Shut down because of their arrogance and rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until when? All the way till the day of judgment. Allah's anger, no mercy will be shown to him. May Allah protect us and make us humble. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Brothers and sisters, Iblis, he hears this. I'm doomed. Okay. Instead of taking the shot and saying to please give me a chance, because he could have, and Allah saw the behavior of Iblis, Iblis doubles down. If that's the case, فَأَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, then I beg you for one thing. I pray to you and request one request, no other, just one. Forgiveness, that's what you would think. Give me another chance, that's what you and I may think. But this creation is as such a filthy level, and I want you to always keep that in mind, that he helped orchestrate all the filth and the bloodshed in the world. We're focusing too much on individuals, which is rightfully so, and they are criminals, but I want you to zoom out and know who's backing them up, because the one that is influencing them is in your own house, in your bloodstream, influencing you to become like them. So be careful. May Allah protect us. So then he says, if that's the case, فَأَنظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Make my lifespan, not 60, not 100 years, make me live till the last living being. What kind of resume does he have? What kind of experience is he growing? Because the jinn has free will, so they also can grow. May Allah protect us, but not as good as the human beings. فَاللَّهُ says, yes or no? فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ. He gave him this. The ulama, they said something nice. They said, if Allah accepted the dua of a devil, he will not accept the dua of a believer. Anytime, like, will Allah accept? Just go back to this. Chapter 15, verse 36. Anytime, like, will Allah, you say, la ilaha illallah. What's the matter with you and I? Allah accepted the dua of a devil. So Allah says, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Until the appointed day. Allah does not tell when is the day of judgment. Then the devil, يَخِي تَبْسَكِّرْ, close, be quiet, enough damage. No. The devil goes to Allah and he says, أَغْوَيْتَنِي. I am in that situation because of you. Ya Allah, it is because of you. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Chapter 15, verse 39. You're the reason I'm miserable. Are we like that? Are we like that? May Allah protect us. The reason I'm like this, because Allah made me like that. It's in my DNA. It's in my genes. It's in my this. It's in my that. Don't play the role of a devil. May Allah forgive us. Because just like how there's Iblis, there is Adam, and you will see what happens to Adam. So he says, أغويتني. And because of you and the damage you caused through this Khalifa, Adam, I will never let go, ready? I will never let go of anyone who tries to get closer to you. His focus is not the nightclubs. His focus is not the drug dealer circles and hubs. His focus are masajid and healthy families. His focus is you who attended the Friday night session. You are his main target. You are Iblis's avatar. He's after, there's a target on every sister and brother. He wants you. And he says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will not be on any crooked path. They're lost. I want to be on the straight path. I'll be sitting on that path to the masjid. I'm going to be on the path to the part of the closet where you got to put your hijab. I'll be on that one. I will not be on the other side. I'll be on the one on the alarm where you put it for fajr. I will not be on the alarm that puts you to go do a sin with your friends. I will not be there. I'll wake you up. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. أَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Then he says, I will come from the right, from the left, from the front, from the back, from all direction. What's your ultimate goal, O devil? So you may be a complainer and ungrateful. That's his goal. If I get you to be ungrateful, complain about everything. Complain about the weather. Complain who your parents are. Complain about the size of the house. Complain about your height. Complain about your eyes. Complain about everything. Then he has achieved his mission. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ or أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. May Allah make us grateful. Say ameen. Then he says, and you know what I will do? I'll make the earth sound, look as the most beautiful thing ever. لَأَحْتَرِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ. I'm going to take his children. Ya ayyuhal criminal. You're not just after Adam. You're even after children. You know how much he hates you? You. You know how much he hates you? Right when you are born, he pokes you. Right when you are born, everybody celebrates you. He's angry at your existence that he's the reason that you cry. That's what the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the level of hate. Sounds familiar? Not even children are spared. Sounds familiar? Not even a pregnant woman. Not even animals are spared. May Allah protect us. Yeah, I mean. So then he says, and I will misguide them. and I will make them have wishful thinking, and I will paint a fake picture, and I want to make them feel insecure. I will tell them where you're at is not where you're supposed to be at. This is where it's really at. I'm going to make the ugly look beautiful. I'm going to make them insecure about the truth, about that which is right. Look how they're having fun. Look where their honeymoon is at. Look at the Instagram pictures. Look at you. Look how boring your family is. Look how boring your religion is. Look how backwards your community and ummah is. Look at it. And look at this. Do you not want to be like this? So you feel insecure. What should I do? Come here. The devil, لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ grabbing, the way we grab cattle, animals, the reins. He will drag, and once they get there, they see the beauty, and right then and there, it fades away, like a Band-Aid, right away. So they feel very miserable. Hey, you promised I will feel better if I took off my hijab. I feel more miserable. You have promised if I sleep in and miss Fajr, I'll be energetic. I'm more lazy. What are you telling me? Wait, you didn't try the real deal. Come here. Takes you to the other room and takes you step by step till you disbelieve in Allah and you become an enemy of Allah and an agent of the devil on earth. May Allah protect us. And does circle, 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 circle. May Allah protect us with that cycle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, فَالْحَقُّ وَالْحَقَّ أَقُولُ Allahu Akbar. Allah says, the truth and the truth is what I say. Everyone that listens and follows you, I will fill hell with you and them. Anyone who falls for your tricks, I will fill you and them with hell. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ The devil says, except the righteous slaves among you. He has no control over you. May Allah make us of the chosen ones. May Allah make us of the sincere ones. Say ameen. He tries that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي My servants, لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ My servants you have no control over. So yes, I want you to be concerned, but I want you to keep in mind Allah is with you. And how do I fight an enemy that I cannot see? Shaitan is an enemy you cannot see. So he might punch you here, you don't know. So the way to fight an enemy you cannot see, seek help in someone that can see him. Seek help in Allah. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. So Allah says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي My servants, you have no control over them. So yes, the devil can mess you up once you forget Allah. When you remember Allah, the devil is a nobody, ضعيف. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفٌ Allah says the plotting of the devil is so weak only when you remember Allah. You don't remember Allah, you fall for the plots. Brothers and sisters, Allah talks to Adam. And Allah does another miracle. Another miracle, what's the miracle? Adam alayhi salam is not in Jannah yet. Allah does something from his chest. Allah takes a creation. Who's that creation? His spouse, his wife. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ O Adam, enter with your wife into Jannah. And can you imagine, Adam did not go to Jannah, then Allah gave him a wife? Inshallah, because the spouses help one another to go to Jannah. The spouse is an essential part in your life. This is the first story in the Quran. That's what Allah is emphasizing. Family, family. Get the family. Then, inshallah, you go to Jannah. Seek to have a spouse. Don't say as a young man, Wallah, I'm going to grow myself and build this and become the CEO and I become this and that. Then I will think about it. No, marriage has to be a top priority, O you who is capable to get married. Don't say, oh, let me do this, let me finish that, let me do this, let me travel this, I want to go to Malaysia and the Maldives, then maybe this guy cannot afford it. Go and seek a marriage as a high priority. That's your utmost thing. We are in a society that doesn't just want marriage to be here, the last priority. We are in a society that wants to control, alt, delete the entire marriage system. Shaitan once you, when you hear marriage, you're like, ew, yes or no? Kids, marriage, no way. But that same devil tells you to write love letters to the haram relationship. The same one who tells you, marriage, you're too young for this. But you're not too young to go on FaceTime and some random DMs and here and there and plot how to meet up this guy or the guy meets up this girl in some park in Farmington Hills. That is fine. That's pretty cool. That's like suspense. But Shaitan tells you, marriage, I'm not going to cook for this guy. I'm not going to clean for this man. I don't work for him. But the devil tells you, go to the point of saying lyrics and songs of worshiping the man that you love. May Allah protect us. See what I mean? Be careful with the society. Go with the plan. This story, the first story, this is the compass of your life. When things look confusing, go back to the Quran to fix you and fix myself. May Allah protect us. So Allah says, enter, Ya Adam, and your wife into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So we go to Jannah. Everything is halal. Except one thing. What is it? وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Eat everything and anything, all the rivers, all the trees, everything, except that one tree. This one tree, you see, have millions, you have billions. This one, don't eat it. Okay? Because if you eat it, you'll be an oppressor. Oppression, it's oppression when you disobey Allah. It's dhulum. I gave you all this and you go against me, isn't that dhulum? I give you this and you thank someone else and not thank me, isn't that dhulum? I gave you a laptop, I blessed you with money to buy it, then you go use it against Allah, is that not dhulum, oppression? I gave you the eyes to see and you choose to see that which is the haram and not the Quran. You chose to go and jump and practice and bench press and all the good stuff and use every muscle and joint to look good and look fresh, but you're not willing to bow down to the one who gave you the knees and the joints? Is that not oppression? Is that not the lack of gratitude? May Allah forgive us. So then Allah says, eat anything except that one little tree. Otherwise, fatakuna wa takuna, both of you will be of the oppressors. What else did Allah tell Adam alayhi salam? One more thing. What is it? Who knows? One more thing. If you go to the Quran, he told them one more thing. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّلْمِ. This is Al-Baqarah. Close, very close. It's about shaitan. Allah tells Adam, and be careful. إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. Allah said, you see the one right there? You see that one right there? Who is that? Iblis. Allah knows Iblis's plot. Adam, this man is your enemy and your wife's enemy. فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْخَى. Don't make him persuade you, tempt you, make you fall into a trap, slip, eat from the tree, then you'll be at loss. فَتَشْخَى. Notes taken. They go enjoy Jannah, Adam and his wife. It's not in the Quran. I'm not sure if it's an authentic hadith or not, but known as Hawa, the wife, from the word Haya, life. The wife, happy life, min zaman. All right? Right? So they're in Jannah, having a great time, and you have to appreciate the Quranic narrative compared to the biblical narrative, because the biblical narrative is very much degrading to women. Extremely disturbing narration about women. In the entire Quran, you will not see anything except the complete opposite. SubhanAllah, and you will see. Shaitan comes and whispers. Shaitan comes to Adam. Some of you are like, bro, how can he? I know the story, brother. I know he ate from the tree, but how can he fall for it? How can he fall for it? Oh, you who is asking, how many times did you fall for it? Hey, brother, can we go back to the notes? Exactly, let's go back to the notes. Because we fell way more times and many times than him. It was that one mistake, and we have hundreds. So before you point a finger at someone, there are three fingers pointing at you. May Allah forgive us. So then, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan whispered. Do we know the whispers? Do we know or no? Do we know or we don't know? We know a little bit. Allah says, the ultimate goal for the devil, and this may shock many that may not know this, the ultimate goal of the devil was what that we mentioned in the previous verse? Lack of gratitude. And how will he be able to destroy them? Look how the devil thinks. Sometimes you got to think like the devil in a way. See how they plot. فوسوس لهما الشيطان. The shaitan whispered, why to eat from the tree? That's not my goal. The devil's goal is not to eat from the tree. The devil's goal is what will happen after you eat from the tree. Make sense? What's the thing that will happen? Allah says, لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. The devil knows something. If they were to eat from the tree, they lose all the clothing. They become naked. And Allah says, سَوْآتُهُمَا. Their سَوْآ, which is the awra, will be shown. But I have a question, O you who know Arabic. What was the other word that I said, not سَوْآ, the other one? What's the one that many of us know? Awra. Awra is the private parts. Why did Allah say the devil wants to show their سَوْآ? What does سُوء mean? سُوء means bad, means evil. But our bodies are not evil. Why is he saying, I want the evil, i.e. the awra, to show? Because he knows the more you show your body, the higher risk to fall in evil. So if I get someone to be very comfortable showing so much skin, they are at a higher risk of committing evil and so, from the Quran. So next time, men and women, do not belittle the covering Allah told you to cover. Don't say, it's okay if I do this, right? What? When the guys see this, they're going to, faint? You see these comments? Do not belittle this. It might be small to you, but it's big to Allah. So it's not about the size that you think it is. Just respect Allah's commands. He knows the more that you show, the steeper or the slope keeps going down. A sister came to me, true story, in Europe. And she came, I don't know why she had to say that, but maybe she's trying to tell me her state of religiosity. But she came to ask me a good question. She attended an academic class. May Allah bless her and guide her, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then she said, by the way, I'm not someone that wears the hijab. But she was wearing hijab and abaya. Honestly, that may help me with customizing the answer. But it did hurt me to hear that, right? Number one, I care for that sister. And I don't want Allah to be disrespected. So then I answered her question. Then I asked her, can you tell me a little bit about your removal of the hijab? Because she used to wear it, then she took it off. She said, yeah, you know what? I got these friends in my life, and I'm still really contemplating going back. So I asked her a question. Taking a shot, I might be wrong. I said, how long have you taken the hijab off? For how long? She told me for a number of months. I don't remember the exact number, 3 months, 5 months. I said, can I ask you a question? And feel free to respond. But if you respond, please be accurate, please. She said, yes. I said, how is your salah? Salah, not talking about anything else. How was your salah today compared to a few months ago? You might say, what does this have to do with hijab? I got you. She looked down. She felt sad. She said, I stopped praying. You remember the room? Come this room. Continue praying. What, in a hijab? You're going to go to hellfire? Allahu Akbar. Shaitan. After that, it's not working, not feeling good, not doing this. Let me just loosen it up, do this, do that, mish'arif, then stop praying. And men have their examples as well. But that was a story that Allah willed that I remember now. Allahu Akbar. Slowly. He has all time long. He has until when? Until the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Doesn't give up. So you don't give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, as you all know, the ending, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaitan made them slip. The shaitan told them the tree is not a big deal. You know why Allah told you not to eat from it? It's because you will always be in heaven and you will be sinless. So he's trying to now justify. Sometimes shaitan comes to you from the religion. You see, brother, you see this girl, she wants to learn about Islam. And you give her your number. Or is it haram? Give her your number, it's okay. She has a few questions. And shaitan goes halal, 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 dislike, 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 then prohibition. Then you go step by step, step by step, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا, and then he slips you. He has some good arguments at times. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا. Okay, Adam and Hawa, get out. اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. You and you and you. Who's the third one? Iblis. Go down. اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ. you will be enemies to one another, the humans and the evil jinn. There's some Muslim jinn. You will go down. It also means among the children of Adam and Hawa, there will be people that are enemies. May Allah protect us, as you see today. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٍ. On earth, you will find provision, food, drink. وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى. And you will stay there until the appointed time. فَتَلَقَّى Adam. Adam has knowledge. Allah taught him how to say, I am sorry. Allah taught him how to ask for forgiveness and apologize. So Adam, when he learned this, what did he do? He right away said it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, Ya Allah, I have wronged myself. We have wronged ourselves. We are sorry. If you don't forgive us, we are doomed, Ya Allah. Did Allah accept? فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. You will see this in the first story in the Quran. I accepted their apology. And Allah will say something one more time before we end. What is it? Go down. But he already said it. He already said it. Right? اِهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ. Allah said, descend from heavens. Then he apologized. So keep me in Jannah. I am sorry. No. اِهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا. You were planned and destined to go down either way. يعني even if the sin was not committed, the earth is for you. O children of Adam, you are on a mission. And you went down to earth forgiven, not with a sin on your shoulders. You came down clean, pure. And Allah gives you two options. Those who are guided, follow the Quran, you will be protected, no fear, no worry. Last ayah, you disbelieve, hell forever. May Allah protect us from the shaitan. May Allah protect us from the evil of our own selves. May Allah honor you. Thank you for your patience. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.